Hey there, everybody, welcome back. Grateful for all of you. Today we are talking about Hod Shebi Yesod, and it's also 40 days. 40 days. We are getting down to the nitty gritty to 49 days as we're talking about, earlier, Netzach Shebi Yesod, talking about this aspect of 40 days and the power of transformation that happens after 40 days. Which is scientifically backed, and it's also there in the teachings of our sages throughout in many different ways. So we don't talk about 40 days in terms of the Sefira. We're talking about 49 days. Right? 49 days is what's important. So why even bring up 40 days? Or what's the measure of 40 days? Or why don't we stop at 40 days if this is when transformation takes hold? So, interesting. Hod Shebi Yesod, right, as we are learning, Hod corresponds to humility, corresponds to returning, breaking the ego, and we've obviously learned about how to healthily do that during the week of Hod. It was last week. So, now, talking about returning to our purpose, our humility in our purpose, right? What does this mean? So yesterday we were talking about getting back into our purpose if we've fallen, having victory in our purpose. Hod comes to bring that sometimes when we fall, we don't have the ability to just get up and keep the momentum going because we've maybe have fallen farther than we'd wanted to. Right, maybe it wasn't an aspect where we just fell and then got back up and continued the streak. Maybe it had been a long time since we had been doing stuff, or maybe in the interim, not only had we not been in our purpose, but we were actually going against our purpose, and that which we found to be the most valuable thing to us, we're going and doing the exact opposite. As we had mentioned, it's not the cookie that broke the diet, it's the feeling bad about the cookie and then eating an entire pack. So what happens after the entire pack happens? How do we get back to our purpose? How do we get back if we feel like, what happened to me? I don't know what happened. I was doing so well. You look back on life, and sometimes you look back on life, you're like, wow, I am so much better than I was. We've made so much progress. And sometimes we can look back and say, whoa, how did I get here? I was in my purpose. I was doing what happened, and now all of a sudden, I'm very far. It's because the ego had set in. Right, the ego had set in. And the ego is an acronym for easing God out. E-G-O. So the more that we ease God out, it says that a haughty person and Hashem cannot stand in the same room at the same time. So when a person starts taking credit and starts thinking that they're the thing, Hashem invariably removes himself from the situation slowly, slowly. Okay, you're God. You got this. Go for it. And sometimes we find, wow, I've been way off. How do we get back? We get back through humility. And sometimes we're in our purpose as well. And when we're in our purpose, it's even more important to have humility. If we're still in our purpose, it's the best. But we have to sometimes check ourselves as well, right? To check and to say, am I living my purpose purposefully, so to speak? For instance, a person can even be doing all of the mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, keeping all the Torah mitzvahs, davening 3 times a day, learning all day, and doing amazing, amazing things. And they go to realize that what they've been looking for has been the honor that one receives for being a pious person. And there's a story of the chassid who wakes up one day and he says, oh, I had a bad dream. The other chassid says, what do you mean? What's a bad dream? Says, I had a dream of Hashem. Dream of Hashem? What do you mean? What's the problem with that? He says, well, I haven't thought about Hashem in 20 years. So a person can be going and doing all the things, and they look very religious, but they haven't even thought about Hashem. Right? And this is how we get to Hod of Yesod, that Yesod corresponds to Yosef HaTzadik. We look at it as though the brothers did something horrible, which they did, and they had to make shuva for it. But we also look at it as if they weren't justified for what they did. And in fact, the sages say that they were, that the brothers, the 10 brothers, it says that they sat down when Yosef was sent out to go look for his brothers on that fateful day. Where did he find them? He found them together, and they were sitting in a Beis Din. And they had seen that this brother was very haughty. He was very flamboyant, very charismatic, but maybe not in the best way, because guess what? Uncle Ishmael was very charismatic and not so good. And Esav was very charismatic and not so good. These were brothers that had to be thrown out of the lineage to protect the children of Israel. So they thought, it's possible there's another one amongst us. And they had a big issue with Yosef. Yosef talked to his brothers. He looked down on his brothers. He talked to them in a way that they couldn't have peace with each other, it says. And a lot of times we don't have peace with each other just because one side or both sides or all sides are filled with ego. Well, this person did this to me. Well, that person did this to me. And in this way, they're growing more and more and more apart, Chas v'shalom. And the schism gets so big that we lose sight of how we even got here. How do we get to be so far from each other? How do we get to be in a place where we're so close and now we can't even talk to each other and we're blaming each other for everything that ever happened? What happened over here? We got too big for our britches. So Yosef had to get sold into slavery, and this was the biggest test, as Rav Benji says in Dance of the Omer earlier in the week, that it wasn't the test of Potiphar's wife was the biggest test. That was only a test that was going to give him the strength to go through the biggest test. And the biggest test for him was forgiving. The biggest test for him was to forgive his brothers. Because he had every right to be mad at them. He had every right to feel that they had wronged him. And that he had a grudge to bear. And he had good reason to have a grudge to bear. And ultimately, this corresponds to as well as we talked about many weeks ago already now, the hirhurim. The hirhurim are these foreign thoughts that come into a person's life that can overtake a person's brain, I should say, and they just nagging thoughts that just won't go away. And interesting enough, this Shabbos, it came up where somebody was sharing that these thoughts are, Rabbi Nachman brings it down, is that these thoughts are great gifts. Why? Because it's Hashem Mamish showing us exactly what I need to elevate. And we've talked about obviously seeing the things that we see in someone else is the things that we don't want to look at ourselves. There's many aspects of this, but at the very least, we need to elevate this thought. It needs to be pushed up, and we don't want to push it up. We want to push it down, so it keeps coming up because it needs us, our power, to push it up. But we're too egotistical. We have too much ego. We think, how could I? That person, they owe me an apology. Maybe if they apologize to me, the other person thinking, well, that person owes me an apology. We talk about as well how Hod corresponds to Aharon HaKohen. And Aharon HaKohen, his way through Shalom was to tell one person, hey, you know that person? Yeah, I hate that guy. I can't even look at him. Well, you know, he actually feels pretty bad about what he did. And pretty bummed. I mean, he's really embarrassed. Even if you see him, he wouldn't even be too embarrassed to tell you about it. But let's just say he feels really bad and he apologizes. And, you know, he just wishes he could have bygones be bygones. And you go to this person and say the exact same thing. Say, yeah, you know, so-and-so, oh yeah, that guy, I'll forget about that guy. I don't want to see him. He says, well, actually, you know, he feels very bad about everything. Tell them the exact same thing. So when they see each other in the street, they'd have to be excited to see each other and they can have a new start anew. And a lot of questions a person can have. How is that possible? Is that good? Is that right? Nah, nah, nah. Peace is the highest vessel of all things. Shalom Bayis is the highest vessel that can be received. If you want to receive anything in the world, it requires peace, requires shalom, requires to not have strife with other people. That strife is breaking off our shalom. I'm breaking off our brachot our shefa, the things that Hashem wants to give to us, we're being blocked because of these disconnections that we have. And the biggest disconnection was Hashem, because we weren't humble. We were egotistical. So today, Chod Shabbi Yasod, entering this, I say, new week. I mean, we're entering, it's Yom Rishon. Just had Shabbos yesterday. So in this way, it's a new energy as well. And we can carry forward with us the ability to be humble, to return back to Hashem, to return back to our relationships, to return back to our purpose in a humble way. And in this way, we're going to be like Yosef, whose biggest test was to stand there and to know that his brothers had wronged him, and he helped them. He helped them to get the food they needed, and he helped them to make shuva, and he loved them, and he forgave them. He looked them in the eyes and was able to forgive them. And this was the most powerful moment of his life and of their lives. They were really scared until he was able to actually forgive them. And so in this way too, we should have the ability to forgive ourselves, forgive others, but more so than that, to return back to our purpose and humility. If we fell and we're very far, to just say, you know what, let bygones be bygones. We're going to start where we start, right here. I didn't forget everything that I learned. I may feel very far from it right now, but it's going to be like riding a bike. I have a lot of progress. And if we're in our purpose right now and we're feeling disconnected, to reconnect to Hashem. I say, thank you, Tati. Thank you, Abba, that I'm living my life in purpose, that I'm keeping Torah mitzvahs, or I'm doing the business that I want to do, or I'm being the parent that I want to be. But am I doing it for ulterior motives? Am I doing it to receive instead of to give? Am I doing it to disconnect or in any way coerce, God forbid, instead of being a vessel, a facilitator, and to do it for its own sake? So Hashem should bless us, that all of us should be in our purpose, of course, that we should turn to our purpose, it should be in our purpose, and to do it with the utmost and utter humility, to say, thank you, Hashem, that I'm living in purpose, that everything is so good, and every single time we're saying thank you, it's opening up all the worlds are opening up, every single pipeline, that there's no prayer that can be stopped if there's gratitude associated with it, because you cannot stop a letter from going to the king that says thank you to the king. So we should be able to do this, and in this way we're going to see all of our prayers answered, and we're going to see more people inspired by our prayers, davening on them, and more people will join us in our purpose, and in their purpose, their individual purpose, all of us in humility to allow God in to all of our lives, to allow God into this world in the best way, which will build for him his home, dwelling place, here in this land, here in the world, with obviously all hostages coming home, true shalom in the land of Eretz Yisrael and around the world, the rebuilding of the third temple and gathering of all of the exiles and all the lost tribes, and this way will be as one happy saying thank you Hashem all day and all night. L'chaim.